Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When did I find out? Maybe Friday night, you know, something like that.
I never told Jordan he was going to start. I told him he had to be ready a bunch, but I might have been Bobby or somebody trying to pump him up, but I knew he was going to have to play a lot. I told him that he was going to have to, wasn't going to be like usual. He was going to be a number two back that was splitting a lot of the time, but now he didn't know he for sure was doing that till today.
Okay. The Niners. How about a great team that might be run like a bit of a mess?
The Niners?
Yeah, a little bit. All the contract all stuff, right. All the drama. They just signed the guys. And now here's Kyle Shanahan and Jordan Mason. What's the story? Somebody figure out what your story is, guys. Get your story straight. When did you find out that Christian McCaffrey was not going to play? When were you going to get the start? Yeah. I guess both could be true, that Mason was told, you're going to play a lot, be ready to start. Mm-hmm. And then McCaffrey was not going to be ruled out of the game. Anyway, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Try a quick reverse take on the Niners on for size real quick. Should they feel fortunate that they landed into Brock Purdy? I mean, he looks pretty good out there. He looks like he's pretty talented. Like, I know he was the last pick of the draft.
Yes, any team that drafts a guy with the last pick in the draft and gets a guy that is that good, you should be feeling lucky.
Like, they get no criticism at all for trading three first-round picks to move up and get Trey Lance, who was a catastrophic miss.
Yeah, they win games. Who cares?
Right. And the coach also, part of it too, that I don't think, have you ever heard that take? Oh man, they're lucky they got Brock Purdy. You never hear it because Kyle Shanahan is going to get 99.9% of the credit for Brock Purdy being good.
Yeah. 803-0550.
Just working my way back to calling Kyle Shanahan a fraud.
There you go. You got
slowly but surely.
Just like Josh Allen jumping over linebackers, you got to find your way back.
This is the path.
You got to get back on your Shanahan hate.
Yep.
Johnny in Buffalo is next up. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, just happy we got the win over the weekend. Excited for this game against Miami. But, you know, one big criticism I have, and I don't know how much you guys have talked about it over the last couple of days here, but it's, you know, kicking that field goal at the end of the game on fourth down. And, listen, I understand you're like, okay, our defense has been playing well the second half, but, listen, that's the field goal of death right there. I'm texting all my buddies, and we're just all in agreement. Like, this is the worst decision you can make. Statistically, you know, it says go for it there. It's fourth down. You got the best player on the field, maybe one of the best top two players in the NFL on the field, fourth and two. And, you know, it's a windy game. Your kicker just kicked one that got returned for a touchdown. And you're deciding to kick a field goal into the wind, which, okay, Grady made it. But then look what happened on the kickoff. It, you know, goes out of bounds. It's just, those types of decisions, I can't understand. Like, yeah, okay, we won. We won the game. Great. But it doesn't mean it's the right decision. I can't comprehend how we put ourselves in this position again and again and again with McDermott. And it's these types of decisions when it comes playoff time where, you know, it doesn't, like, what happens in the regular season, I think we'll still win the AFC East. I think we'll still make the playoffs, but when we get to the playoffs, what's going to happen? What are you learning over your tenure, Sean McDermott, that's going to indicate that you know how to handle these situations? And why are you taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands in that situation? And that's just my frustration. I'd love to see Kincaid get more involved. Love to see Shakir get more involved, because that dude, every time he touches the ball, something good happens. But, you know, on to Miami.
All right. So on the field goal, yeah, like if you're thinking about what are all the things that could go wrong, if Bass misses, that's catastrophic for his confidence.
Yep. The point about, like, is McDermott getting better at this, though? Like, is he learning from these situations? Like, I feel like there is some evidence that he does, right? That this has gotten better since when he was originally, when he first showed up as the Bills head coach. I mean, not all the way. There will be moments. I think any football coach, you're going to have moments where, what did they do? That they punted where? They kicked a field goal where? They didn't go for this fourth? Why did they? But I don't know. I've got more confidence, even though Sunday happened and they kicked a field goal to death, which I would typically almost never want to see the team do. AFC Championship 2020, they kick a field goal to go down 9 into halftime.
That's
right. When I think I hit rock bottom with him in game management decisions in this area.
And that's not the same. Would he do that again? No.
No, and then that's like, again, the point about, like, is he learning? Like, that's what I feel like he learned from. Because in the next dozen opportunities, remember when they went to Foxborough, they were down after losing the win game here. They go to New England. They went for like fourth downs in the first half and scored on two touchdowns on drives where they went for four. So like, I feel like he's gotten better with that stuff. Is he getting better with the late game and the field goal stuff? Like that, I guess I don't know.
If I could say this too, there's one other piece I want to say, which is if we're all being honest.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
McDermott cannot prove to us what he'll do in the playoffs in the regular season. If he had gone for it and they get it, or they don't get it and they win, either way. If he had gone for it, I'm not saying the caller is being disingenuous. I'm just saying I feel like I know how this works. If he had gone for it, someone would say, I'm glad he went for it. I hope he'll do that in the playoffs. Right?
Right.
We are at a point in our lives where the regular season is the regular season. We're sitting here talking about, are they going to run it too much? I have no idea. We'll see when we get to the playoffs, when they play Kansas City again. In the playoffs against Kansas City, I thought they ran it too much. And in the playoffs against Kansas City, Tyler Bass missed the kick that he needed to make. In the regular season against Arizona, he made it. This is a team that we're going to remember what they do in the playoffs. And it's really tough to prove anything in the regular season, even all the way down to they routinely beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And if they do it again this year, Joe, what's everyone going to say?
They all do it in the playoffs.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Has to be in the playoffs. So I don't think the point is wrong. I'm always going to try and keep that in mind myself, that it's going to be almost impossible to convince us you're going to do something in the playoffs until it's done. But thank you for the phone call. 803-0550. Mario in Jacksonville. Mario, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, I wanted to comment on what the previous caller was talking about before the break. We're talking about the national media, especially the last couple of days, is talking about Josh having put on the cape playing hero ball. I'm really confused by that. I thought he played exactly the way he needed to play and did exactly what the defense gave him and made plays when he needed to with his legs. It's kind of funny, when we had Ken Dorsey, people were upset that he was being stifled, and now Joe Brady essentially lets him be who he is. He didn't have that deer in the headlight look, and he spread the ball around. I thought the offense looked really well, and they moved the ball. If they run heavy, I'm not sure why there's complaints that if they move the ball and we win, what does it matter if we don't look like the Dable offense? So I'm kind of confused by that narrative. But I think the more important issue that we have to look at for the team-wise is the defense. I think the secondary, to me, is a huge question mark. I wasn't surprised to see Arizona move the ball because they have a lot of weapons, and Kyler is a shifty player. But with Taron Johnson out this week, I'm really worried that they're not going to be able to put the right package in to stop both Hill and Waddle. And I wanted to get your guys' take at how we look at safety, that we're still out, and then what kind of package do we put together to try to stop just these receivers, because the two running backs, essentially, I think they're going to, I don't know if they're going to play, but they're probably going to be pass heavy. So I think that's where we got to focus our attention on and let the offense kind of find itself. And if we move the ball, we move the ball.
It's such a different challenge this week. Whereas Murray's biggest threat is scrambling and what he can do. after things break down, maybe Tua is on schedule, and Arizona did not throw to their wide receivers really at all.
No, the guys that got targeted were actually Dorian Williams got targeted 6 times, and Cam Lewis got targeted 7 times. And I'm looking at Cam Lewis, 21 of his snaps were in the box at linebacker. Like, Lewis was the one actually that was filling in on that safety spot, and he got targeted 7 times.
Well, watching Miami, I watched that game, the Dolphins and the Jaguars, and Jacksonville very much had a chance to win this game and probably feels like they should have won this game. That said, Miami was sloppy, really sloppy. Yeah. Their first two of their first three drives end in the opponent's territory going for fourth downs, like a fourth and four, and a pass gets dropped, and a fourth and they were sloppy. And Tua was a little bit sloppy, but they hit their big plays to Waddle and Hill. And I don't know what to make of this matchup. I'll tell you who you need a big game from. You need Greg Rousseau and Von Miller to be great again. And Rousseau, his 3 sacks, like we talked earlier this morning about, you know, the sack where he chases Kyler out of bounds. That's, you get awarded a sack for a loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the kind of sack they need from him this week against Tua. He also had the fastest time to sack of the week in the NFL.
That's what you need.
That's what you need against Tua. Yeah. That's what you need against Miami, is to get to him quickly before he can make that read. Because one thing that the Dolphins can do is they can throw it quickly and throw it far in one false step, and they've got 4 guys on the roster that are going to make you pay. And does Arizona, due respect, does Arizona have 1 guy like that? Is it Dortch? Because Marvin Harrison Jr., first off, didn't get the ball, but he's not a burner. And James Conner is not a burner. Not like Jalen Wright or not like Devon Achane. Michael Wilson, like Trey McBride. The Arizona offense is not exactly a speed merchant offense the way that Miami is. I guess nobody really is. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a call. Having a good conversation about what the Bills are doing, the game plan, the running the ball. And we'll have weeks, months to talk about it, of course, over the course of the season. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.